Today we're back in the book of 1 John. We're going to be looking at chapter 4. So 1 John chapter 4, we're walking down through these verses. But let's go up to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're just so thankful once again that you've given us your revelation, your word that we can look into, your Holy Spirit that can bring us into your truth. We don't have to be ignorant of your word, Father, or your ways. So I ask once again this morning that you will supernaturally open up the ears, the eyes, the hearts of those who are going to be listening to your word. Bring them into the truth. Those who don't know you, draw them unto yourself, and as your word is presented, grant them salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, also once again, I ask that you'll empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your word for your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen. The book of 1 John, chapter 4. Let's look at verses 1 through 6 first. We're going to see test of spirits in your study guide. We're going to see a warning and an exhortation by the apostle on test of spirits. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the Apostle John, once again, he's given us a warning, an exhortation to believers, to test the spirits. Beloved, verse 1 again, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see, this exhortation to us, to believers, is to know God's truth. How are we going to test folks if we don't know God's truth? We are to know God's word so we can tell whether or not someone is teaching, speaking, or preaching truth or error. We have to know God's truth. We have to be as the Bereans. Look at Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and 11. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched, it says, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these sayings were so. So we have to know God's word, that way when we listen to people talk about God's word, to know, are they speaking the truth of God's word? Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 through 19. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, let the solid foundation of God stand. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So, Paul once again says, we need to be good workers, approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. We need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Why? Let's go on to chapter 3 of that same book, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because in the last days, he's going to tell us something. Perilous times and perilous men, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. Let me start off first. We know that the last days. The last days is what? This phrase refers to the age, the time, since the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the last days. We have been in the last days. Once again, this phrase, the last days, we're going to read here in verse 1 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy, the time since the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. We got to remember, we have to test the spirits. The Apostle John says in 1 John, we have to test the spirits, but we got to know God's Word. Believers should know God's Word. We need to know God's Word so we can tell when people speak God's Word, are they speaking the true Word of God? Are they speaking the true Word of God? Because remember, Satan will try to twist and deny God's Word. You have to know God's Word so when he comes at us and his false teachers come at us, we know where the twist is. He will try to get us to challenge God's Word with our own wisdom and our own knowledge. He'll get us to challenge God on His Word. He'll get us to challenge God on His authority. He will have false teachers challenge God's Word. False teachers will challenge God's authority. Where to start at, we know. In the Garden of Eden, right? Let me read to you Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So we see right there, he tempted the woman. He challenged God's authority. He challenged God's Word. He wanted the woman with her own wisdom and knowledge to do the same, right? He even tried to get Jesus, God's own perfect Son, to question God's Word and His authority. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So, every time that the tempter came, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what did he do? He rebuked him with the word. He said, it is written, you shall not do this, you shall not do this. Isn't it kind of ironic that they took the thou shalt nots out of the schools, out of our courthouses? They don't want the absolute truth of God's word. They would rather listen to the lie than to listen to the true Word of God. That's why, back to 1 John 4, we have to test the spirits. Believers, a cry, we should know God's Word so that we can tell whether or not someone is teaching, speaking, or preaching the truth or error. Remember, false teachers will try and twist God's word to fit their own mold, right? They will, with their own wisdom and knowledge, try and challenge God's word and His authority. Now, back to the opening text. Let's go down to verse 2 and look at verse 2 through 7 of 1 John 4. We're going to look at some tests for believers to test a teacher, the speaker, or the preacher. 1 John 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Test number one, we know right there. Do they believe Jesus Christ was God in human flesh? True believers accept and proclaim this. We know that Jesus was God incarnate in human flesh. Wouldn't it be something when people come at us, we say they're unbelievers. The Bible calls them what? They say they have the spirit of Antichrist. When you deny that Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, that He was God incarnate in human flesh, you have the spirit of Antichrist. That's what God's Word says. True believers, we accept it. We accept and proclaim. We know, the Bible says, God's Holy Spirit has brought it to us, illuminated us. We know that Jesus Christ was God incarnate in human flesh. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, the Gospel of John. John 1, 1 through 5. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5, this is a message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Jump down to verse 14 through 16. And the Word became flesh, which we know as Christ, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have received in grace for grace. So, John's Gospel says, we know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Then he goes on here. Paul says, Colossians, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. So, test number one. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was God incarnate in human flesh? He was deity. He was deity. Test number two, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Number two test, right there. What do they speak and who's listening to them? The text says they are of the world. They speak as of the world and the world hears them. But he says we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And he says, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The world's hatred for God's true believers. John 15, verse 18 and 19 first. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Verse 20, John 15, verse 20 through 25. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. You see, the world hatred of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they hated him for his truth he spoke, right? And the life he lived. It should not surprise me and you, his true followers, if we're treated the same. We are no better than our master. We should expect it. We should expect it. So test the spirits. Test the spirits. A couple of tests here. Who do they say Jesus Christ is? Just like Jesus asking, who do people say that I am? We should be saying the same thing. You are the Christ, right? The Son of the living God. He was God incarnate in human flesh. And do you accept the world's teachings? Is the world listening to our teaching? You see, when we speak God's truth, His Word, His absolute truth, and it is the absolute truth, the world may not like it. The world may not like it. But those who are God's, the Holy Spirit, should bring us into that truth of God's Word. I want to share with you from a commentary of John MacArthur on testing the Spirit. It's a reason to test. You see, Christians, we are to continually evaluate what they see and hear and read. We are to determine whether it's from the Spirit of God or from demons. The only reliable way to test any teaching is to measure it against what? What God has revealed in His infallible written Word. As a perfect standard of truth and a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God provides believers with their primary defense against error. The urgency of John's command resides in the fact that not a few, but many, the text says, false prophets had gone out into the world. Satan does not merely want to oppose the church, he wants to deceive her. In keeping with his fraudulent schemes, his servants have infiltrated denominations, churches, and other Christian schools, institutes, and organizations, resulting in compromise and error. Satan not only develops lies that directly deny biblical truth, but is also subtle, often sabotaging the truth by mixing it with error. Truth mixed with error is usually far more effective and far more destructive than the straightforward contradiction of the truth. Those who trust everything they read from the Christian bookstore or hear on Christian radio and television are prime targets for doctrinal deception. After all, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So, Satan masquerades his lies as truth. He does not always wage war openly against the gospel. He is much more likely to attack the church by infiltrating her walls with subtle error. He uses a Trojan horse approach by placing his false teachers in the church where they can secretly introduce destructive heresies. He puts his lies in the mouth of someone who claims to speak for Jesus Christ. In this way, the devil disguises falsehood as truth, making that which is evil look like something that is good. So, we are commanded by the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4 to test the spirits. To test the spirits. We got to know God's Word to be able to test the spirits. Number two, once again, back to 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 7 and 8 first. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We need to love, he says. But before that, he says, we have to test the spirits. So that means we got to have a discerning love. We got to be able to know what God's Word says about love. Remember, we must test the spirits, but we must also love. That is why you must be born again. You must have a supernatural enablement that will allow us to discern how to love correctly based upon God's Word. Because we got an imperative of love in chapter 3 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. John 15, 12 and 13 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So we got to be able to love. Beloved, let us love. Let us love. But God gave us a perfect example of self-sacrificing love by what? By sending his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 9 of 1 John 4, verse 9 through 16. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we know and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We all know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But let's look at verse 17 in John 3. John 3, 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We know that God's love gives us a perfect example of how we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to imitate God's love, as Paul says to the Ephesians, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Romans 5, verse 8 says, well, let's look at verse 6 through 8. Romans 5, verse 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we can see, just a few texts. 1 John 4 says, we are commanded to love. But our love has to be a discerning love, because we have to test the spirits. We have to be able to know by God's Word And as Holy Spirit brings us into truth, His Word, how to love correctly. Obedience to His command, right? Obedience to His command to love. Back to 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 17 through 21. Obedience to His command. 1 John 4, verse 17 through 21. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Verse 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And we know the new commandment that Jesus said to the disciples, John 13, verse 34 and 35. John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I loved you. Did you also love one another? By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Great commands that we have to be obedient to. If the world can look at me and you, they can judge us on how we love one another. Isn't that something? Beloved, let us love. We are commanded to love. We are to be imitators of God and walk in love. Because, and you say, we can't do that. Open up your bulletin. Very ironic, I put it in there this week. God's little promises to us. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as we conclude here, once again, we're supposed to, John says in 1 John 4, we're supposed to test the spirits. The only way that me and you can know how to test the spirits is to be a good worker, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to know God's Word. We have to know God's Word so that we can tell whether or not someone is teaching, speaking, or preaching truth or error. Remember, false teachers will try and twist God's Word to fit their own mold. They will, by their own wisdom and knowledge, challenge God's Word and His authority. Test the spirits. A couple of tests. Do they believe that Jesus Christ was God incarnate in human flesh? What do they speak? And who is listening to them? And do they teach God's Word and truth, even when it is not politically correct? We're supposed to love. We're supposed to love. We're commanded to love. Be imitators of God and to walk in love. I just want to share with you, as we close, a few other texts on a warning, a test of salvation, and true love. A warning, test of spirits. The Apostle Paul to the Ephesian elders. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through 31. Let me read the text to you. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to me, so that I may finish my race with joy in a ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. What a thing. Paul says, I am innocent of the blood of all men because I have not shunned, as he said in verse 7, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. What a way to end your life. I am innocent of the blood of all men, because I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. When it's hard, when it's easy, he says, I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Verse 28, therefore, here's a warning. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse sayings, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. What a warning. What a warning to test the spirits. Also, a test of salvation. Because the Apostle John says, a test is what? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was God incarnate? Listen to what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 17 says. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 17. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So right there we know Jesus had to come to earth. He had to be killed because God raised him from the dead. So, that if you confess your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17. So then faith what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to preach the word of God. Salvation is only in the Lord. Jesus is the only way to heaven, right? He did come as God in human flesh. He died on the cross for our sins, and he was raised on the third day. If you do not believe that, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. That's so important. So many people, I've heard many people say, they don't believe in the resurrection. But as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, you better check out your salvation. Because it says here in Romans that if you confess your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, resurrected, right? You will be saved. And lastly, as we close, true, it says a command. Beloved, let us love. Beloved, let us love. True love. True love. True love for the brethren. If we claim to love God and do not have true love for fellow believers, it's a lie. It's a lie. True love does not get bitter. It does not get bitter when it's corrected, when it's needed in our lives and brought to a person in love. Are you willing to be corrected? Am I willing to be corrected in love? Do I have love for my brother in Christ? Do I believe that Jesus Christ was God in human flesh? Do I teach God's word, his truth, even when it's not politically correct? So test the spirits. Wherever we go, we need to test the spirits, 1 John 4 says, because many antichrists have gone out in the world. Many false teachers have gone out in the world. Many false teachers, preachers have gone out into the world. We are commanded to test the spirits by what? The absolute truth, the standard, the word of God. And we are to love. We got to love biblically, have a discerning love, be imitators of God, and to walk in love. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, we're just, once again, we just stand in awe of your word. We just know, Father, that it's only by the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we can obey Your Word. I pray, Father, as Your Word goes out, we know Your Word says it will never return void. So as Your Word was presented this morning, I ask, Father, that You'll sink it deep into the hearts of the hearers by Your Holy Spirit. Help us to be hungry for Your Word and to study Your Word, to meditate on Your Word, so that we can test the spirits correctly by the Word of God. Help us not to lean on our own understanding, but to stay in Your Word, to look at the world through biblical eyes. And I also pray, Father, help us to love correctly. Help us to love as You have loved us. Help us not to be hypocritical when we love. Let us love from a true heart and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Father, that if there's anyone that's going to listen to this sermon down the road that has never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they hear Your Word, that You will draw them unto Yourself, that You will convict them of the sin and the need of a Savior, and that You will grant them salvation in Your Son. And if they trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, I ask that You will guide and direct them by Your Holy Spirit. Let their lives be supernaturally transformed, that when people look at them, they see the change. And it's for Your glory, though. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.